Thank you for joining me for another Quick Hits conversation. I'm Dr. Robin. I'm a concierge high-performance psychologist providing luxury-level support to executives, entrepreneurs, celebrities, and athletes. With me today, I have Frank Galindo. He has 20 years' experience working in PR, where he enjoys bringing people together and creating partnership relationships. I have Brandon Mahoney. He is the co-founder of LaunchPoint Labs, a national venture firm where he is an expert in creating sales departments. He is known as Dr. Startup. I have Bonnie Sussman-Versace. She is a re-imager at Focused LLC, where she specializes in developing leaders, building positive and productive workplace cultures, and improving individual, team, and enterprise-wide performance. The question I have today, how do you tell the difference between being agile and adapting to something and blowing up a plan just to chase something new and shiny? Brandon, what do you think?
In my experience, it entirely depends on the motivation behind the change. If I'm building out a process for an organization and the entrepreneur comes to me and says, hey, I just spoke with one of my friends and they told me that they're doing this and it's completely against what I was creating, that to me is probably more of an emotional change. And therefore, it's not an adaptation. It's a, I see something shiny, I'm going to go for it. Versus as I'm building the strategy, the process, I'll respond to customer interactions and maybe pivot a little bit, but it's more data-backed than just an emotional kind of reaction.
Mm-hmm. I like the way you phrase that, because to me, it seems that if you're really pivoting and you're being agile, you're still keeping the context, the content of the actual plan itself, but maybe there are just little things here and there that need to be adjusted. When you're looking at it and saying, okay, you know what? We're not going to do that at all. Just throw that out the window. We're going to do this now. I'm being agile and I'm pivoting. No, you're not. You're just completely changing direction. And to your point, I like the fact you said data-backed. What's the reason behind that? Why are you doing that? Because to scrap an entire plan, especially after a bunch of stakeholders have agreed to it, and based on information, they make an informed decision. And now suddenly to do that whole wipe the slate clean, to me, yeah, you're not being agile. Don't pat yourself on the back. You're just realizing, oh, you know what? No, I want to do something else. And that's not the right way to proceed.
I find a lot of times when business owners, entrepreneurs, business leaders attend any type of training or opportunity where they're with other peers and there are new ideas and all kinds of opportunities being discussed, when they come back, there's a lot of squirrels on their parking lot. And it makes it really difficult when they see something that's a little bit different, or they think, oh, this is a great idea, or let's try this, when they're already on a path to make something great happen, almost always gets derailed. And then it's so hard to push that rock back up, push it back in place.
So if you're working with someone and they come back and they are like, we're going to do this completely different thing, how do you have that conversation? What does it look like to say to someone, I think you're chasing a shiny object?
I've gotten to the point now where when we start having those conversations, it's, listen, we set out on this path for a reason. Instead of just saying, hey, it's not working for me, let's figure out why it's not working, so that if we move in another direction, we're at least justified in that decision.
Mm-hmm. I feel like if you push back and ask the question why, it might hopefully get that person to reflect and be like, I don't really know why. And then maybe then it'll be, okay, never mind. Let's keep going where we were going. Or how about this little item? Maybe they find some kind of a middle ground to make a little tweak to it.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's not even the business owner, leader, or entrepreneur that makes that decision. If they have a strong enough team with them, the team will step up and say, not on our watch.
Yeah.
I love that point. Go ahead. One of the first things I like to do is essentially fire the CEO, the entrepreneur from sales. Have them take a step back away from sales. They've done a great job getting them to where they need to be. But if they're too involved and they have too many, they're overseeing too many different projects, it's so hard to make decisions that way.
Mm-hmm. The question, so I have a process that I take entrepreneurs and clients through, and it starts out with, what do you want to be different? And that helps you come up with what's your goal, what's your plan, what's your vision. And if they come in after we've been through that process and kind of started down the path of creating strategy, a question I like to ask is, how do you see this fitting into what you already created. And to your point, Brennan, that why, but in a way that how does this fit? And seeing if they can articulate it.
And if that fails, how much is it going to cost you to make that change?
Compared to how much we've already spent going to get to where we are now. Frank, go ahead.
What have you both seen in your experience, the level of the person in the company or on the project team, how what impact does that have when they want to try and chase an object, a shiny object? Mm-hmm.
For me, it's almost generally always the head entrepreneur, the founder, the CEO, or it's a new leadership hire that they've brought on board. Maybe they brought somebody in marketing, mm-hmm. and marketing has a completely different vision as to how things should be done. And it's oftentimes, unfortunately, it's somebody as a leader that wants to make an impact immediately and wants to kind of put themselves in charge. But I think a great point was made when we start talking about the cost of things. And so it's how much will it cost us to stop this project versus maybe seeing how we can take our current strategy and align it to what you would like to see as opposed to starting over.
Mm-hmm. When we talk about cost, it could be what investment have we made in the people? Mm-hmm. How much time have people spent on it? How much energy, how invested are they? And how much have they, quote unquote, fallen in love with whatever path we were on, and now you're going to try and shift them? It makes it very hard to apply things like fair process or anything that helps the team to be able to develop that new pathway or that new path.
So we've talked about catching other people chasing shiny objects. Let's take a second and talk about how you catch yourself chasing shiny objects.
That's a great question.
So for me, it's very similar to what I said. I have to stop myself because I'm constantly reading about new strategies and the way the industries are changing. And it's almost like I want to try to be ahead of the curve. And I want to show that I want to show the team that I'm still up to date on things that are going on. But it's like, okay, there's a reason why some of the fundamentals have remained the same for so long. And I have to remind myself the same thing. If I start changing tactics too quickly, they might question whether or not I know what I'm doing or if I'm just guessing.
For me, it's having a reflective moment, a self-reflective moment, because I'm my own little team leader there and saying, okay, I've been doing something a certain way for a certain reason. And I find my mind wandering. Same thing, Brandon, you start reading as to what's new, what's going on, what the shifts are. And it's okay to be up to date and then information, but kind of bring all of that into the context of what you're doing and why you're doing what you're doing. And when I realize that, oh my God, I'm expending more effort deviating from where I was. So then I have to stop and say, well, why? Why am I doing all that? Is that really necessary? And what am I going to accomplish by doing that versus staying the course? I was just curious also, how often than not do both of you see the shiny object get chased versus bringing everybody back and centering them again?
I push really hard to bring them back to center because it's, I think one of the things that Bonnie started talking about is it's the effect it has on your team. If you start building a team out and saying, hey, we're going in this direction, all of a sudden we like pivot and go somewhere completely new. It's they don't know what to believe. They don't know what to trust. It's too much of a hassle.
Mm-hmm. It's no longer believable. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times you're building that trust factor when you're strengthening the culture and building the leadership. But when you shift gears abruptly and people don't have the opportunity to see what the vision was that drove that shift or to be part of it, I have not seen it click yet.
Mm-hmm. I feel like having written documentation of this is what we're doing and this is our plan, whether even if it's just an outline, can be really helpful because then you can say, does this shiny object fit somewhere in the outline we have? Or is this a left field thing that means crumple up the outline and start over? So I think writing down the original plan is a good, I don't know, inoculation against the shiny object syndrome.
And it's okay. I don't want to sound like I'm against the shiny objects. I want to be careful about that because the shiny objects have been really influential in the growth of so many companies. I don't want to totally downplay it, but it has to be done with caution and it has to be done with thoughtfulness. Just to do it, that doesn't work.
That's a great place for us to end a 10-minute conversation, chasing down the rabbit trail of squirrels and shiny objects. I look forward to speaking to each of you again really soon.